Now adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. Mr.
Sandman, you get the idea? Bring me a
dream. It's on the internet. Cutest that
I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips like roses. It's a great program. And tell him
that his lonesome nights. Here's the Sandman. Sandman.
What's the most important thing in your life? It's your family, right? And if you don't have the right or up-to-date estate planning documents in place, if something were to happen to you, well, you're going to create a real mess for them. Because of the pandemic we've been through, the probate courts are all backed up and is taking over 2 years just to get your affairs approved by a judge. So don't do this to your spouse or your kids. If you've been thinking about this, today you're in luck, because I'm going to explain to you in simple terms, is a trust right for you? And what are the 5 estate planning myths you probably believe? This should be an entertaining 45 minutes, so stick around. Good morning and welcome to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander. I am known as the Sandman around the studio here in San Francisco. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. If you have a question, maybe something's been on your mind, is it legal or financial? I'm here to help. This past week got me thinking. I sat down with Ken and Susan. They have 2 boys. Ken's a retired engineer and has managed to accumulate a little over $13 million when you look at the value of his house, which has skyrocketed. His life insurance, 401k, just, you know, saving away. They both told me that they wanted to make sure their boys received as much of their estate as possible when they're no longer here. They were really concerned about the tax law that's going to be sunsetting. Don't forget, you know, when Trump was in office, they passed that new tax reduction act, but that's going away. That law has a sunset provision in it, whether you knew it or not. And in a couple of years, it's gone. So they were concerned about that. They know the changes are coming and they want to do what they can do right now to make sure their sons and their grandkids get as much as possible from all their hard work and not the government. So they came in with this big padded binder, said estate plan on the front of it. I got to tell you, I was pretty excited that they had a plan. I saw that their house, their cars, their retirement accounts looked like everything was in pretty good order on the surface. But after I reviewed it with them, it turned out that it was a real mess. In fact, they were looking at some serious taxes and penalties by the IRS and a long and expensive probate in Marin County because their documents were outdated and missed some very important fundamental pieces. Now, that got me thinking about today's show. A lot of people are running around thinking they're covered. Maybe they have no plan at all. And the bottom line is this couple was only trying to help their kids, but in reality, because so much time had passed since they spoke to their attorney, who, by the way, is retired now, what they did is create a real mess for their kids, and now they have grandkids. So they didn't want to do that to their children. So here's what we're going to do. For the next 45 minutes this morning, I'm going to show you some simple strategies that you can use to keep more money with your family. If you want to pay less taxes, pass more of what you've worked so hard for all your life, and avoid the courts and attorneys, well, then you've tuned into the right station this morning. Now, let's get started. The Dow Jones, S&P, NASDAQ all had a decent week. Dow was up 0.3%, not much, but the S&P was up 1.8. NASDAQ up 2. The 10-year Treasury, can you believe this thing? It's on fire. closed the week at 2.48%. And oil up 49.9% for the year, closed at $112 a barrel. Now bonds are off 6% year to date. And people are asking me questions, what's driving stocks right now? So I figured this morning I'd get into it with you a little bit and talk about what's going on and what I think's going to happen. We'll call this my market segment. Stocks have spent most of the last week thinking about the evolution of, there's two influences I keep talking about that are affecting the markets right now. I'm sure you know what they are. The first is the Fed, and the second is Russia-Ukraine. So looking at the Fed, we saw the markets drop early in the week on the realization that a 50 basis point hike in May is more likely than not. And markets later in the week started to digest that reality and did pretty decent. And why is that? Well, let's think about it. From a historic standpoint, yields are super low. I mean, the Fed's coming off zero. So anything above zero, depending on how much it goes, not necessarily a bad thing. So on a historic level, rates are still very, very low. And the market also believes now that a 50 basis point raise in May, it's not the end of the recovery. So with no major Fed policy changes coming for another 6 weeks, what can happen in the next 6 weeks? Well, that's going to be about commodity prices. Because what also is true right now, if you look at what happened on Wednesday, oil was up and stocks were down. Yeah. So on Thursday, when oil was down, stocks were up. So unlike the Fed, where the impacts won't be felt for months, the impact of oil is immediate. And the longer the oil prices stay elevated, the stronger the headwind will be on growth and growth stocks. So in the near term, next 6 weeks, don't be surprised if the S&P 500 continues to trade directly, inversely to the price of oil. At 4,500 right now, the S&P 500 has completed a solid bounce from where we saw it hit in February at the lows. But I don't see anything right now that tells me that this market can go substantially higher. And why I say that is because I think 4,600 is probably high as it's going to go. And I say that because the Fed right now is more hawkish than they were before the market rallied to 4,800 in late part of last year. And the other reason, like I said a minute ago, is commodity prices. Oil, I don't think, is dropping anytime soon because you have this war going on. So don't get me wrong. I'm not happy that the S&P has rebounded, but I'm still very much of the view that you're going to see a trading range in the S&P 500 between, wait for it, 4,300 to 4,600. And I don't think we're going to really see anything outside of that until we get a meaningful reduction in the tension that's occurring across the world. You see our president over in Europe right now. You see everybody uniting, and at some point, something's going to happen. So that's going to be an issue. And then also, once we get confirmation that the Fed is done, that they figure out we're doing a good job, everything's fine, I think everybody will relax a little bit. So those are the things that are happening, and that's what's going on. Now, let's turn to the economy, because that also is a signal of what's going on. And this past week, we had some good numbers coming out and some not so good numbers. The PMI, what the heck is that? Well, this has to do with people making things. And the number was super solid, was 58.5, which is good. Anything over 50 is good. The estimate was 55.9. So we had almost 3 points higher, which shows that growth is happening, and it's happening in the service sector. And it's strong. There's no denying that. The other good news we saw was that these supply chain pressures, you know, like getting stuff delivered to your house. That's improved a lot. In fact, the supplies are starting to grow, which means that there's a lot more inputs coming in, more available resources to do things with. So that's, those figures are strong, and that helps. It helps a lot. The other issue that we have is inflation. Inflation's still running hot, and because of the numbers that I saw last week, I don't think that it's peaked yet. So the Fed is concerned about that. It's another thing we have to keep looking at. Now, the other thing that was disappointing is durable goods, and I'll tell you why that's important and why you want to keep your eye on that is because durable goods represents what businesses are spending. And right now, bottom line, businesses spending dropped a little bit in February. Now, 1 month alone is not a big deal. But if that continues, if businesses are starting to spend less, then that will mean the economy may be slowing down. So that's another area we have to be paying attention to now after that report. And we'll just have to see. So the next report will be coming out in about 3 weeks, and that'll measure what just happened here in March. So we'll see what happens there. Commodities, the big issue there, natural gas. Yeah. U.S. natural gas prices were higher this past week. Why? Well, President Biden met with the European Commission President von der Leyen, and the two of them were talking about us, U.S., giving more liquefied natural gas to the EU. And their goal is 15 billion cubic meters by the end of the year.
Why make trillions when we could make billions?
So from a supply standpoint, the fact that current natural gas stockpiles are 20.9% below the levels from last year, and get this, 17.4% below the five-year average, this is supportive of that price, that commodity, especially when you consider the EU demand that could come online here. That's pretty good. So you have less supply, bigger demand, natural prices on gas. I think they're going to keep rising. And right now we see with the technical confirmation settling somewhere in between $6 and $6.50. That's very strong. So natural gas might be a place that you want to think about. All right, next, coming up next, what documents do you need in an estate plan today? We'll find out when I come back. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. I'm stuck in
the middle with you. Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening this morning to Protect Your Assets. And right now, it's important to think about what you have. Make some moves to protect what you don't know is coming. Because one thing is sure, the tax breaks we've seen the last few years, well, they're going away. That law is going to sunset. And if you're just joining us this morning, I'm answering the question concerning the fact of the value of your home right now, is a trust the right place for you? Well, let's start with some basics, shall we? Before you really know what type of estate plan you need, you have to take an inventory of all of your assets. What kind of things should you think about? What kind of things does a trust protect? Well, as you know, I am an attorney, and so I think I'm qualified to talk about this, which just blows me away because so many people talk about it, and they're not attorneys. Okay. Anyway, putting that aside, real estate. Yeah. If you own a piece of real estate, whether it be a commercial, residential, multifamily, storage, apartment building, what have you, it probably should be in a trust, particularly if you live in the Bay Area or the LA or Orange County areas. You're talking about valuable property, even dirt. I mean, there's dirt lots around that are $1 million, $2 million just for the lot. So those certainly should be in a trust unless you want to tie it up in probate court for 2 to 3 years. Now, what about life insurance? This is a tricky one. It's not easy. Life insurance doesn't necessarily have to be in a trust, but it might be. It really is much more fact specific. Same thing for retirement accounts. There's, you know, a lot of controversy on either side of that argument, but I again would say that the attorney should be involved in educating you on that decision, because depending on your family, this is very unique to your situation, you have to think about who owns that account and what does it mean when you no longer are around. And the big one that I see all the time are business interests. If you own a business, family business, then you must think about that. Then there will be some basic documents that will make up your estate plan. Like what? Well, generally you and your spouse each should have your own respective will. Wills don't avoid probate, but what they do is they give the judge a roadmap to what it is that you wanted. And what's really important is if you do a will, make sure it's witnessed by 2 independent, notice how I say independent, and non-interested, meaning they don't get anything out of it, persons, okay? Not entities or aliens. I'm talking about from space. Okay. Anyway, you follow what I'm saying. I want to tell you about a story. I had a call from Joe this week, Joe in San Diego. I couldn't believe this. He told me that his friend's name was Dan. Dan, who was 42 years old, had 2 kids and a wife, found out he was terminal and died within like 3 weeks. Terrible story. But Joe, being a smart MBA graduate, runs businesses, he's a smart guy. He told his friend Dan, let's just write up a holographic will. This is where the smart people do dumb things, okay? Rather than going to a lawyer, they decide to do it themselves on what we call a piece of paper. It's called a holographic will. And guess what? The dummies didn't have an executor in there. So guess what that means? Probate. Yeah. So you did nothing, really. Don't do that. It's dumb. Durable Power of Attorneys and Durable Power of Attorney Financials. What's the difference? Well, the Durable Power of Attorney could be a healthcare, also known as Advanced Directive. Those are all similar type of documents. DPOH, we call them in my business. What does that do? Well, it does this. If you want to receive morphine when you're on your bed in pain and dying, you need to tell them that, because morphine can speed up your death. And a lot of people don't want to make that decision for you because they're worried about guilt, about going to jail. Sorry, there's just lots of things here you have to think about. So I would just say, if you don't want to be in pain at the end, and from somebody who's seen lots of that in my career, I don't want to be in pain. I want to be able to hit a button or tell the person, yeah, give me some more of that. You better sign something that says that, okay, and have it in writing and make sure your kids or your spouse know where it is. Now, the Durable Power of Attorney Financial, that is a super important document. Should everybody have one? Depends. It's a very powerful document and give people the power to sign your name to anything that maybe you didn't like. On the other hand, it can do a lot of good if you lose your marbles one day and you don't know what time it is. Because bills still have to get paid and you still have to eat. So those are things that are important. So you may do a combination. You could do one where it springs into being when you lose your marbles. And it's certified by two doctors or something like that. There's all kinds of standards you can build into that document. So don't just, again, don't just do these things to make it easy and you think you're covered and you're really not. Because the probate process right now is a mess. We've filed cases that have taken years, in some cases 3 years, just to get people their property. It's maddening. I had two brothers call me this last week. They hired a probate attorney. They've been going this for 2.5 years, and they're wanting to get rid of this guy who's their attorney. And the reason why is because he doesn't return their phone calls. He doesn't answer their questions. They have a lot of questions. Why is this taking so long? We need the money. We got to pay bills. And I told him, I'm like, hey, don't get mad at your guy. I mean, he should call you back. Yes, he should respond to you. Yes. But you're asking a lot of questions that he just can't answer because he doesn't know. The system's kind of taking cruise control over on you. If you drive a car around, maybe an electric vehicle, you know what I'm talking about? How they can just take over your car and start driving? They can, by the way. It's kind of scary. So that's what's happening here in probate. These brothers want to get their property, but they can't. And it's unfortunate the lawyer's not communicating with them, but that's just the way it is. So why is something that is so important rarely completed? I think I know why. I think it's because we, not speaking to my lawyer professional, although some do this, they make it overcomplicated, seem difficult. Because when you start this process, there seem to be so many choices that you have to make. And if there's two of you, you both have to be on the same page. So maybe take a deep breath and step back and think about this. What is it you're trying to do? What are you trying to pass on to who? And let's just start with that. So if you want to get some straight answers right now by getting my free estate planning analysis, then call this number, 866-PROTECT. Protect your loved ones, protect your family, protect everything you've worked for. What are you doing? 866-PROTECT. It's that simple. Coming up next, don't miss our popular They Say segment. You're going to love this one. Where they're usually not attorneys. They say if you have a trust, then your family-owned business will automatically pass to your kids. Is that true? Find out. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening this morning to Protect Your Assets. And right now, with rates seeming like they're running away, are we headed for another recession anytime soon? Well, if you want to know more about that, you've got to go listen to my podcast, because I've shared with you my thoughts on the market for the next 6 weeks. And the only way to find that is to download us on your podcast. If you use Spotify or iTunes or any of those, under the search glass, just type in Protect Your Assets. And we've added some new content. You'll see a new graphic they created of me. It looks pretty good, I must say, but check it out. Anyways, you'll see it there, and you can search for the market segment, and right there we'll talk all about what's going on right now. Now, with over $8 trillion in stimulus, the chances are super high that when the tax laws sunset here in the next couple of years, because remember, the tax laws that changed under President Trump's time are going to expire. It has an end date, a no longer use date. And anyway, don't do that, right? Don't use expired food. It's not good. Anyway, it's a very high probability that the estate tax will be changing and that you're going to have to give more to the government at some point here in the future, particularly if you have assets that have accumulated in value. So if you're trying to pass assets on to your kids, there's things you can do to make sure that you keep more of that in your family by using these legal strategies that exist to help that wealth pass from generation to generation. So now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer. All
I know is that I don't know. So here's one they say. They say that if you have a trust, then your family-owned business is protected and will automatically pass to your kids upon your death. Is that true? Well, you could tell from the way I asked the question, no, it's probably not true. And in fact, most trusts that we review don't even speak to the family business. And that's dangerous, because in most instances of business owners that I meet with on a regular basis, the business asset is probably their most valuable, if not one of the top valuable assets in their estate. And imagine you're the one running it. I know you've put all your time, energy, and effort into it, and you've reinvested your profits in it, and you've grown it. And now it could be worth a pretty penny. And then something happens all of a sudden, right? These things happen. You're driving down the street and bam, it's it. It's over. Happens. I've seen it a lot. Then what? Well, if you have a trust, good for you. But is your business covered? Probably not. It's incredible. So what you have to make sure is done is that your business is what I call funded, properly funded, in your trust. Because the reality is, just because you set up a trust doesn't mean that your business or the real estate that your business is located in, the building, is in the trust. And just as late as last week, we had a couple who came in and they were in this exact situation. He had a business. He made these cool little coasters. You talk about, you know, what are some of these businesses you hear about that are worth just a lot of money? Well, think about coasters. He's had the business for like 35 years, and they own the building, and they own the dirt next to the building, and you look at all this stuff, and it's worth some money. And the fact is that this wasn't even done. So what if your kids don't have any interest in your family-owned business? In the event that you pass away, who will run the day-to-day operation of that business to ensure the value is preserved and either sold or passed on effectively? These are the kind of questions you have to walk through. And hopefully with someone who's had experience with this, because you don't want to just figure it out on the way. Something you could do, you can write this down, it's called a business continuity plan. And a document, if you do something like that, would include tax considerations, something I'll call management protocol. Who's going to manage it? Who's doing the day-to-day? Who's writing the checks? Simple things. How much or what percentage of the revenue would you distribute to your family? And what sort of things would occur immediately to maximize the value and preserve it from all your hard work? And I'm going to tell you right now, you should not be short-sighted on this. You work too hard to get it to where it is today. And it's definitely worth your time to work with an attorney like us. We have business attorneys on staff who are skilled in these kind of matters, who can help you protect and preserve what you've worked so hard to build. Now, what type of a trust might you use? And in my experience, trust can be great, but they can also be way more complex and just straight wrong for what you might be trying to do. And that's just a matter of getting to know you better and what you're trying to accomplish. Because in most cases, when we look at bigger estates, it involves setting up a trust, and it usually starts with called a revocable trust, meaning you could change it. But you all also may have something called an irrevocable trust, or like a dynasty trust, or a generation skipping trust. There's many different types of irrevocable trusts you can establish with the goal to protect, say, your daughter from her new boyfriend, or your grandkids from some new spouse that shows up down the road because something happens to your son or daughter. And then your property goes to someone you don't even know. These things happen. So just realize that just because you create an irrevocable trust and you pass that control of that asset over to the trustee, doesn't mean you necessarily lost it. Because remember, who you choose as trustee has what's called a fiduciary responsibility, meaning they have to look out for the best interest of the beneficiary. And hopefully you've chosen a trustee or fiduciary who has the not only wherewithal, knowing how to deal with these things because they've done a lot, but also the backing. Meaning if they make a mistake, there's a purse to pursue. So it could be a large institution. It could be an insurance policy. There's something there to protect the beneficiaries and protect your assets. Now, think about this too. If you have a trustee, I see this frequently. The trustee is also the beneficiary. Like your kids, right? The kids could be the trustee, and then, but they're also the beneficiaries of this thing, and you see immediately what I'm talking about. Because lots of things can happen, and I've seen so much in my career of 30-plus years doing this that I can just tell you that just because you name your kids and you think that they're going to outlast you, sometimes they don't. And sometimes they don't in ways that we just can't see right now. And you can create conflicts between your kids. Like if you name one kid over another and they don't get along, or they now don't get along because one has more millions than the other does because they have control over their money. And then their spouse, the one who's not in control, gets in their ear about how their brother or sister is so unfair, right? Treating you so terribly. Pushing the strings that for years your child's been venting on them about for whatever reason. I mean, these are irrational things that just happen because we're human. We get angry at little stupid things, right? We let them build up in our minds, and they don't really mean very much, but for whatever reason, we get excited about it. So you can think about putting one child in charge of some things and the other one on other things, or you could have a independent, neutral party, like a professional or a corporate trustee, be in charge of the big decisions. And by doing this, you're going to reduce family conflict in the future. And I just can't tell you how many times I've seen this with families where the decisions you make, which seem like they're good and certainly well-intentioned and certainly expeditious, they end up being medieval torture chambers. And that's the thing we want to avoid. So what I want to encourage upon you today is that you need to do what's called an estate planning stress test. And that's where you can uncover problems that may exist there by just having a frank conversation with somebody who understands and who knows how to ask the right questions. So if you'd like a second opinion from a fiduciary, then I'd like you to give me a call right now. Here's the number, 866-PROTECT. Call this number, 866-776-8328. I'll give it to you again. 866-776-8328 and protect everything you've worked so hard for and just have a conversation. Coming up next on Protect Your Assets, think your wife will end up with your retirement account if something unfortunate happens to you. Think again. Find out what has happened to others who weren't paying attention to this one. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week. And I will bet that one of the most important things in your life beyond everything else is your family. And if that's the case and you haven't done a will or a trust, or you're walking around with one that's inadequate, then you're leaving them a huge mess to deal with. And when you add the pandemic jammed courts on top of that right now, you're looking at years before they get what you've worked so hard for. So this morning we've been talking about, is a trust right for you? Getting back to today's topic, here are some more myths that you might believe that can get your family into some real trouble real quick. Now, Here's one. Thinking your will has more power than it really does. Here's what I mean by that. Many clients that I've talked to believe that their will or trust takes precedent over the beneficiary form connected to their retirement account. And this could be flat out wrong, because a will governs assets that go through probate. If you have a IRA, 401k, SEP, Kehoe, TSA, 457, I can go on, but I won't. By contract, the beneficiary is designated whether you like it or not, and that will avoid probate. Recently, I met with a client who had three different 401k accounts. One I knew about, the other two I didn't. These go back over 20 years. They were different employers. He just forgot about them. In fact, he got a letter from the Social Security Department saying, you may have $102,000 sitting over at this other custodian. Huh? What? Dave, can you look into this? What is this? Yeah. Well, when we reviewed the account, once I found it, and that took a lot of heavy lifting, we discovered that his ex-wife, who he had been divorced from for 15 years. She was the primary beneficiary on this $100,000+ account. And so if he just died all of a sudden, his new wife would get nothing. Well, you knew what she did when she found out about that. She slapped him in the head. Dummy, what are you doing? I forgot. I didn't even know I had this. Okay, fair enough. How do I fix it, Dave? Well, we got to first get the account and then find it and da-da-da. So we took care of it. It's all done now, but talk about walking around, right? La-da-da, everything's good. Nope. Another problem that I've seen happen is failing to plan for contingencies. This one's unbelievable. You would think that a mother would predecease her son. It just seems like it, right? No, I had a case here in San Francisco where the son was the only beneficiary of a special needs trust, and the other two children were beneficiaries of the revocable trust. Yes, there are two different types of trust. When the special needs child died before his 92-year-old mom, and then she became sick and died 6 months later, the two remaining kids who were alive got nothing. Yeah. So she needed to have something in the papers called perstirpes. You can walk around with that word today. Perstirpes. What did you just say? I'm not talking about the one with the H. No, perstirpes. It means it follows the bloodline. If they had just done that, if it just had that simple language in there, guess what? They would have avoided the probate court and the kids would have got the money. Everything would be just fine. Talk about perstirpes. Okay, some best practices to take to heart. Keep copies of all your communications with your beneficiaries. Letters, emails, all that stuff. Have it in a safe location. And please review your estate plan every 3 to 5 years. Because with the tax law changes, they're coming. Before you know it, things are going to change. At the Liberty Group, we do estate planning with lawyers, not with people who don't know what they're talking about. We have tax people and we have financial planners, all who work together to help our clients feel more confident and comfortable. So you can set up your complimentary 15-minute estate planning strategy review right now by calling a member of my team. Call this number, 866-PROTECT, or connect with us at our website, libertygroupllc.com, because our specialty at the Liberty Group is helping people just like you for the last 30 years. Find out what you don't know, 866-PROTECT. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. Network manager and executive producer Kevin Renfer and Brett and Phil for doing all the heavy lifting back there. Appreciate it, guys. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.